Good morning. I'd like for you to reach down and pick up your tan hymnal. Open that to page 14. And keep your finger in that. Once you've got that, go ahead and stand up. Brother Val will come forward and offer an invocation, and at the conclusion of the invocation, Brother Bob will play the last two lines of the refrain, and then we will sing hymn 14.
Oh God, our eternal Heavenly Father, we deem it a privilege to be here in your house today. Of all the places that we could be, we've chosen to come here. And so, Father, we ask that as we, your people, have gathered, that you would bestow your Spirit upon this waiting congregation, that which we do, we might do in beauty and holiness before thee, that we might come before thee with a broken heart and a contrite spirit, that as we partake of this sacrament, that we might do it with holy hearts, and that you would feel privileged to forgive us of our sins, to wash us anew, that we might be better prepared for that which yet lies ahead. And so we pray, Father, as we, thy waiting congregation, stand before you at this time, that you would bless us with the power of your Spirit, and that we might worship thee in spirit and truth. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Take away my sin. and sings my soul, my Savior, unto thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. And sings my soul, my Savior, unto thee.
Morning, I'd like to read it to you from Alma chapter 3, beginning with verse 83. And I say to you that I know that Jesus Christ shall come, even the Son, the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and mercy and truth. And behold, it is he that comes to take away the sins of the world, even the sins of every man who steadfastly believes on his name. Thus says the Spirit, repent, all ye ends of the earth, for the kingdom of heaven is soon at hand. The Son of God cometh in his glory, in his might, majesty, power, and dominion. We come today to remember Jesus Christ. And when we remember him, we know that he is with us, that he has risen from the grave, and he has taken his rightful place on the right hand of God. He is the way, the truth, and the life. I read something this week. It said, Jesus isn't one of the ways to return to the Father. He's not the best of the ways to return to the Father. He is the way to return to the Father. And I think sometimes the world gets that mixed up. But today we would remember that he is the way to return to the Father. Let's turn in our purple hymnals to hymn 101. We'll sing this together, and then I have another scripture that I'd like to share with you. 101.
Thank you.
From Luke chapter 22, beginning with verse 7. Then came the day of unleavened bread, when the Passover must be killed. And he sent Peter and John, saying, Go, and prepare us the Passover, that we may eat. And they said unto him, Where wilt thou that we prepare? And he said unto them, Behold, when ye have entered into the city, there shall a man meet you, bearing a pitcher of water. Follow him into the house where he entereth in. And ye shall say unto the good man of the house, The master saith unto you, Where is the guest chamber where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples? And he shall show you a large upper room, furnished, there make ready. And they went and found as he had said unto them, and they made ready the Passover. And when the hour was come, he sat down and the 12 apostles with him. And he said unto them, With desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof, until it be fulfilled which is written in the prophets concerning me. Then I will partake with you in the kingdom of God. And he took the cup, and gave thanks, and said, Take this, and divide among yourselves. For I say unto you, that I will not drink of the fruit of the vine, until the kingdom of God shall come. And he took bread, and gave thanks, and brake, and gave it unto them, saying, This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Likewise also the cup, after supper, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. This New Testament in his blood is the reason that we come today to remember. The reason that we come today, and those that have made that covenant with God aren't renewing a covenant, but it becomes anew in us as we remember Jesus Christ, as we come to share together in this sacrament. Look for us to open our hymnals up to hymn 390. We'll sing this as a hymn of preparation, and then we will proceed. 390.
Jesus, come every thought of thee.
For those who need the gluten-free, as we serve the bread, just raise your finger and I'll bring that to you. I'd ask you now if you would kneel facing the altar as much as possible as Brother Val reads the blessing on the bread.
O God, the Eternal Father, we ask Thee in the name of Thy Son, Jesus Christ, to bless and sanctify this bread to the souls of all those who partake of it, that they may eat in remembrance of the body of Thy Son, and witness unto Thee, O God, the Eternal Father, that they are willing to take upon them the name of Thy Son, and always remember Him, and keep His commandments which He has given them, that they may always have His Spirit to be with them. Amen.
Thank you.
Let's kneel once again as the prayer of wine is read upon the wine.
O God, the eternal Father, we ask thee in the name of thy Son, Jesus Christ, to bless and sanctify this wine to the souls of all those who drink of it, that they may do it in remembrance of the blood of thy Son, which was shed for them, that they may witness unto thee, O God, the eternal Father, that they do always remember him, that they may have his Spirit to be with them. Amen. Thank you.
It's our custom to take an offering of oblation on this day, the day of the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, to help those who are in need. I pray always our gifts are for those who are in need and for the need of the work of the kingdom in this part of the vineyard. But as we usually do, any funds that are not designated otherwise will be utilized for the oblation. I've seen your gifts of oblation not only here help those that were in need, but also in other places. And so they're very important in helping to maintain that there are no poor among us, as the Lord has instructed us to do. If the priesthood will come forward, we will collect those offerings. Our Father and our God, we come before you this morning in response to that which you've done for us. Lord, we know that without you we are nothing. Without you we have nothing. And so we come today to return a small portion of that which you've given to us as we give our tithes and our offerings and our oblations. May those monies be magnified for their purpose. May they go far in the work of your kingdom here in this place, places abroad where we assist. And Lord, may you bless the giver in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning. I greet you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And this is indeed his church. And when they had knelt upon the ground, Jesus groaned within himself and said, Father, I am troubled because of the wickedness of the people of the house of Israel. When he had said these words, he himself also knelt upon the earth. And behold, he prayed to the Father, and the things which he prayed cannot be written, and the multitude bore record who heard him. And after this manner they bore record, the eye hath never seen, neither hath the ear heard before so great and marvelous things as we saw and heard Jesus speak unto the Father. And no tongue can speak, neither can there be written by any man, neither can the hearts of men conceive so great and marvelous things as we both saw and heard Jesus speak. And no one can conceive of the joy which filled our souls at the time we heard him pray for us to the Father. When Jesus had made an end of praying to the Father, he arose, but was so great was the joy of the multitude that they were overcome. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. For verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut the door, pray to thy Father who is in secret, and thy Father who seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions, as the hypocrites do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Therefore be ye not like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. Therefore after this manner shall ye pray, saying, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is done in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And suffer us not to be led into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. We have communed with our Heavenly Father this morning and His Son, Jesus Christ. Communion, one definition is to be in close association with the Christ and with one another. And we are partaken symbolically of our Lord's broken body and spilt blood. And it is done in token of the constant dependence upon the once crucified and now risen Savior as a source of spiritual life. We remembered and we renewed our covenant we made in the waters of baptism. To have close association, to be in communion with our Heavenly Father. As I read the account in 3rd Nephi of Jesus praying for them, I can only imagine, and the scripture tells us, we never heard such glorious things. They were in complete communion with Jesus Christ. Complete communion. And then as I read the Lord's Prayer, as He has taught His disciples how to pray, close association in communion with our Heavenly Father and His Son Jesus. I want to give an example of that. Tuesday night, Matt called us and said, Keston and Molly were going to be at the Odessa Hills, and he invited us for supper. And of course, most of you know that when Keston and Molly now come, they bring that third child, Cohen, our great-grandson, our first great-grandson. And so, of course, great-grandpa and great-grandma don't say no. We accepted the invitation and drove over there. Of course, it's only 12 miles, so it's not much sacrifice. Keston and Molly live in Maryville, so we don't get to see them very often. They're a couple hours away. So we went over there, and the last time that we had seen Cohen, he had just come through an MRI for a mole on his body. And Molly, being the great mommy that she is, was very, very protective of Cohen. And so all we got that time was just a little peck on the head of Cohen. We didn't get to hold him because he'd come through this situation where they were trying to find out if this mole might have had cancer. And so they had struggled with him to have an MRI. And as you can imagine, and Doug would know, how do you keep a little baby from ever moving to take an MRI? And so they had this all planned out that Molly wasn't supposed to feed until they got there. Then she was supposed to nurse him, and Cohen would go to sleep, and then they could take the MRI. Well, of course, it didn't all go that well. And so anyway, we didn't really get to hold him or take care of him. And so walked in the house and visiting a little bit, and sure enough, they brought little Cohen over to me, and I was going to hold him. Well, that wasn't going to happen. That little guy puckered up his face, and he went to bawling. And so great-grandpa had to give him back to Molly, his mommy. And so I had no close association with Cohen at that time. But anyway, then it was time to feed him, and so great-grandma got to feed him. And Molly made the statement, if you feed him, you got a friend for life, you know. And sure enough, that happened. You know, she fed little Cohen. And then that was, but before we left then, she brought Cohen back to me. And by that time, he had looked around. I guess he finally decided this old man wasn't going to bite him or wasn't going to be mean to him. And I had a good time holding him. I bring that up because that's really what the Lord wants to do with us. He wants to hold us. He wants to have that that close association with us. It causes us to respond to Him in ways that want to reiterate what we're really doing today. As we have reached forth and partaken of His broken body, His spilled blood, and we talk about seeking His face, we talk about being close to Him. So today we bring Christ to our remembrance, and I thought now, what is so significant about that? We bring Christ to our remembrance. We went to the play Friday night to the Fiddler on the Roof, and all kinds of church people were there. And so I was looking over the crowd, and yeah, I know that person. I can't remember their name, but I know that person. And Sheila and we put our heads together and say, "Who? We know them." I know this never happens to you guys, but. You see a face. I remember a face. In teaching high school, I right away learned that I needed to know the kids' names, and I needed to know them the first day. Now, I did have the advantage of working with students all summer long, and so I did have that advantage of meeting with them. And so, because if you call somebody's name and they're doing something that they shouldn't be doing, it turns them right around. And so I practiced that. I did that. They say if you know, say a person's name three times, look out there, you'll remember it, you know, three times to them. And that seemed to work for me. But as I've got older, then the names. So to bring Christ to our remembrance, would we ever forget Jesus' name? You know, I would hope not. When we see Him, when we vision Him, and I know Sheila's mom didn't on her last day of her life, and we saw her do this. She was on her deathbed, and she looked out, and she hadn't spoken anything for a couple of days, and she was laying there, and we had her kind of propped up in a hospital bed, and she looked out, and she held her arms out, and she said, "Jesus, Jesus." She saw Him coming for her. So she didn't forget His name. She knew. And so today, we bring Christ to our remembrance. And then we witness to God that we do remember Him. Our Heavenly Father, He's omnipresent. He's watching us now. He's directing us now. He knows everything we're doing, everything we're saying, everything we're thinking. So we witness to God that we do remember His Son and the sacrifice and remember God. To witness to God that we take afresh the name of Jesus Christ upon us. We get refueled today. We get recharged. as we recognize that as we partake of the broken body and spilled blood, it gives us life. It gives us life. To witness to God that we will keep His commandments. We've done that today. That was said in the prayers. We might keep His commandments. So we might have His Spirit to always be with us. What a promise. What a promise. And then to renew the gift of the Spirit within us. We also then to encourage the spirit of repentance by which there is remission of sin. And then we also witness to the unity of the church, to make us one unto the Lord, so that we can be His. And of course, we know the scripture that teaches us that we are, if we are not His, if we are not one, then we are not the Lord's. I want to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and read verse 16 and 17. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we being many are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread. And then also in John, the 6th chapter, verses 47 through 57. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am that bread of life. This is a bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. But I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up in the resurrection of the just at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father has sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. So symbolically, we have partaken of the Christ this morning. We have communed with Him. What will be our response as of the disciples?
We'll turn our hymnals to hymn 414. I'd also like for you to pick up your 10 hymnal and open that up to 131, which will be our response after the closing prayer. So keep those handy. I know that's hard to have two hymnals at once, but maybe set one beside you there if you can. Thank you.
There once I knew.
Father, we come before thee with thanksgiving and praise. We do praise and thank thee, Father, for providing this particular service for us, even this sacrament service. We thank thee, Father, for being able to meet here in thy house and partake of the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. For this, we cannot thank thee enough. We pray, Father, thy continued blessings today in this Sabbath day. May we all be safe and well. May we be able to exercise the strength and confidence that we have experienced here today and be able to build up thy kingdom as thou hast commanded us to do. May thy will be done then, Father, we pray in the name of thy Son, Jesus the Christ. Amen.
Oh, how he loves you. Oh, how he loves you.